If you're looking for the best horror, thriller, sci-fi, and WTF audio fiction this side of the apocalypse, then you should listen to The Other Stories. With over 500 stories on the podcast feed already, and new stories dropping every single Monday morning, The Other Stories is your new best friend. Check out The Other Stories today on any and all podcast platforms, or head to theotherstories.net. After all, these aren't the stories your mother used to tell you. These are The Other Stories.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout Podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condor with Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
How's it going, Mr. Ben Errington?
Going good, man. How the devil are you?
Yeah, good. I've got a lem sip, blackberry lem sip, and
a blackberry lem sip. Wow, yeah. Going up in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the next level up.
You know how I do.
I know how you do, mate. I know you're living your best life. That's the best you could do, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. What about you? How are you feeling? You not got cold?
I've not got a cold. I'm feeling pretty healthy. I had a weird day the other day where I felt a little bit lethargic and sick, and I thought, am I going to come down with something? But you know what? I powered through, and I respect my immune system for that.
I sent some germs for the mail. Did you get them?
Yeah, I did, and I ate them up, and I swallowed them down, and then I shit them out, because you know what? I'm a top bloke. That's why.
Yeah.
Can't touch me.
Yeah.
Full of vitamin C. Yeah.
Yeah.
So far, I mean, 2018 has been pretty good for. I know we're 8 months in, and I'm touching wood right now when I say this. But I'm touching my wood right now, and it's rock hard. And I could tell you, I've not really been ill.
It's wood. Well, yeah, I was thinking about this over the podcast. Like, I'm sure it's just me. There's been so many times when I've had like a cold or a cough or something. You're like a T-800. You're not.
To be fair,
cybernetic organism.
If I wasn't feeling it, I'm more likely to like want to postpone a week. Whereas I think you're more likely to power through.
I don't know.
But in terms of being a cybernetic organism, that's true. I am. Well, so we'll have this discussion, and then this time tomorrow when I'll be ruined. But yeah, I'm good. Luckily.
Well, so dude, this is another honorable mention. I thought I would choose. Well, I didn't know what to pick. I ended up going with this film because I thought we need to have some Clive Barker in the podcast. Like, you can't just not. It's like a big part of horror. It's a very specific sort of romantic, sexy horror that you don't tend to get elsewhere. I didn't want to do Hellraiser because that's almost too obvious. So I thought I'd do an underappreciated 90s classic. But before all that...
Let's
have a sniff. Are you holding? What are you holding? What have you been up to?
What am I holding? What is that? Does that mean what you've been up to?
It's like the other guffs.
Right, okay. Yeah. Not the other guffs. That's the worst bit. You know what? I haven't watched all that much this week. It's been a fairly busy week for me, but I did watch last night. I did watch Demons.
Did you? I did.
So obviously, Lamberto Bava directed,
recovering.
But Dario Argento presents.
Yeah,
was he like a producer or something?
I think he gave some money. Yeah.
So I didn't really know much about this film. I think most of what I've heard about it was from you, possibly. So obviously, yeah, a group of people are trapped in a movie theater and it becomes infected with ravenous demons. I could kind of like appreciate it for what it was. Like, I appreciated the whole setting. I appreciated the music. I think the effects were pretty good. There was some really like gruesome stuff, but like something about the dubbing.
Oh, like, I don't know, that's something version. You have to sort of get used to with that Italian.
I found it a bit nuts. I think the dubbing and the acting kind of ruined it a little bit for me. And it was one of those films where I was a bit like, is anything even actually really happening? It just seemed like kind of just like demon attacks a person over and over again. It was just a bit. I mean, I enjoyed it, but I didn't love it.
Didn't love it. That's fine.
And there was like a really weird bit. I don't know if you remember this bit. The spoiler alert for Demons, 1985. Yeah. There was a bit where like somebody got like a young lady, a punk young lady, got like cocaine all over her breasts.
And he nipped it with a razor.
And a guy, but before he nipped it with a razor, he was like scooping the cocaine off of her nipple with a razor for way too long. Like it was about 3 minutes of him just scooping cocaine off of her breast. And I was a bit like, if I was watching this with somebody, I literally would not know where to look. But I was just, it was, that bit was unnerving. And then she like he cut her boob. I don't know. Yeah, it just felt like any sort of semi-main character that you got any sort of connection with, you'd think, oh, this person's quite cool. They'd suddenly just be a demon. They'd be completely written off of the whole out of the whole film and just become a demon and get killed. Even
it's weird,
like
how it ends, like it's weird. Like they're trying to open up some sort of franchise or something, which I think they sort of did in a way. But yeah, the dubbing is like something that I kind of hated the first few times I watched these sort of films. But I'm starting to. And just like not appreciate it, but I accept it. But like it's funny because to that guy, you know, the pimp guy, he was like an Italian sports star or something. Apparently, he doesn't talk anything like that, but they thought he looked kind of American, so they cast him and they gave him this proper pimp jive talking sort of swagger voice,
just a bit mental. I just didn't like. And this and the guy who's like the evil Phantom of the Opera guy, the guy who gives him the tickets, and the guy who is like the main sort of threat.
Yeah.
What was he? He looked like Johnny Marr. He was just awful.
It's weird. There's the music as well. Although I do think the music's quite good. It's got like the Alton Towers theme in there for some reason.
Yeah, it does have the Alton Towers theme. I was confused. I was thinking, where do I recognize that from? And then I realized.
Yeah. So, what would you give that out of five?
Oh, out of five. Well,
three.
I think I went for 2.5. That probably seems a bit mean, but
racist. Yeah.
Well. Well. that accusation. Yes.
What else have you watched?
That's it. That is it. It's been a quiet week. I've just been catching up on some TV shows. I watched Bob Mortimer and Paul Whitehouse Go Fishing. I don't know if I told you about that.
That was like a
BBC show. There's six episodes. Proper like relaxing TV. The kind of TV you could just put on in the background and relax and watch. But it's pretty hilarious as well. And kind of got me a little bit interested in fishing. But yeah, that's neither here nor there. What?
Yeah, I didn't watch too much. I think I was playing GTA 5 most of the week. But I watched Time Crimes. Have you seen that one?
Not for a long time now.
Low budget.
Not for a long time, Crimes.
Low budget time travel film. It's got like a circuitous sort of plot. It's directed by Nacho Vigalondes. I think I pronounced that right. He did Colossal, that film that came out recently with Anne Hathaway.
I'm looking at it. I haven't seen it. I think I've misconstrued it, mixed up with something else. But yeah,
it's pretty good. I think this would double bill really nicely with Primer. It's not quite as hard science.
I've seen Primer, and that is a great film.
Yeah, it's good. So it's one of those ones where something bad happens to a guy, and then he ends up going back in time because this guy in like a mask is chasing him, and then. all these little clues that led to him getting in the time machine in the start, you kind of realize it's kind of his fault, and it sort of gets worse and worse every time.
Yeah.
But it's really fun. It's really good. I think you can tell it's not got a massive budget, but it's super creative, and definitely worth it. It's good. I'll give it 4 stars, I think, out of 5. And then I watched The Conjuring 2, which is on Amazon Prime. Me and Kat went to the cinema to watch this when it first came out. I don't think it holds up as well as it did at the cinema. I think some of the effects... It's still good. I think some of the effects are like... with the Crooked Man stuff, I was like, oh, ooh, that's kind of over the top.
Bit smelly.
Yeah, a bit smelly. And also... and also the dialogue. I was like, man, that's cheesy. Like, that's like not... It just sounded like kind of rang kind of false to me. Some of the stuff with the kids talking and some of the English stuff, I was like, oh, that's just seem very English at all now. It's because they're eating digestive biscuits. Doesn't make them English. But
yeah.
But it's still good. Still rock solid. And what's his name? Patrick. See, Patrick Swayze. Patrick Wilson and Vera Farmiga are like amazing. Like really, really good in that film.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Great. Talking of bad dialogue, I did have to bring this up. Have you seen the latest trailer for Venom, Tom Hardy?
Are you talking about the bit where Venom says you would be like a turd in the wind?
Yeah, so apparently it's straight from the comics, but you know, so we're going to put that out there. If it's from the comics, obviously great, but things from comics don't always translate very well to screen. So Venom says, we will eat both your arms and then both your legs, and then we'll eat your face right off your head. You will be this armless, legless, faceless thing rolling down the street like a turd in the wind.
Yes.
You know, it's not the best analogy, is it? Because the turds blow in the wind.
I can picture it working in a comic. I'm not too sure how you get around it, because I'm glad they're making something more interesting with the Venom character than just having him, I don't know, being kind of like vanilla. But
be him just basically just like evil Spider-Man.
Yeah, but maybe there's a better way to do it. I don't know. I don't know if the humor is quite working. Like something tonally is not quite right there.
Something's definitely off. And after the first trailer, I felt a bit, ugh. And now I've seen this trailer, and especially like this big, what looks like a big CGI Venom versus Riot fest at the end.
Yeah.
When they splurge out of Venom suits. Like, no.
It's a bit spunky.
It looks a bit spunky. But also like with Venom, like one of the things...
afraid of each other.
I know, exactly. I know Tom Hardy is obviously a huge star and a bankable star, but one of the things that didn't work with Topher Grace as Venom in Spider-Man 3 was the fact that the Venom thing kept coming off and showing his face.
Yeah.
Like the fact, I can kind of, like half and half face, when it, I can kind of get it, but seeing them fighting and just coming out of the Venom thing, like that does nothing.
Why would they do that? Yeah.
And also the dude who plays Riot, so the villain, is it Riz Ahmed?
Yeah.
Have you seen him in that particular shot when they're fighting at the end?
It did look like kind of...
he just looks kind of
in clay, like a character model.
He just looks indifferent. He's like that.
Yeah.
Like a big, huge villain on villain or whatever you want to call it fight.
That's how I looked watching the trailers. Like, wasn't sure what the hell was going on.
I mean there's something about it that just looks kind of shit, and I'm interested in seeing what, obviously I will go and see it because I love that character, but yeah, it does look a bit dodgy, doesn't it? It does look a bit dodge.
Something about it. It looks like it's going to be a bit of a headache. Like, you know, you watch Transformers movies and you're like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. But I'll still watch it.
We'll give it a go.
Give it a go.
What the hell not? It's not in the MCU, so.
It's presented by Marvel. Is that what it says now at the start?
What is it? Do you remember that time when Marvel films were presented as Marvel Knights films? And it was Punisher, and I think Daredevil got rebranded as a Marvel Knights movie as well.
Warzone?
Maybe not.
Punisher Warzone?
Yeah, I think Punisher Warzone was one of them as well, yeah.
I loved that when it came out. It was It was the right time. I love a good brutal sort of grindhousey style film. And
I mean, it was utterly ridiculous. Okay, so it wasn't Daredevil. Sorry, so it was Punisher Warzone and Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance.
Yeah, were the only
films released under that banner.
Yeah, there's a bit in Punisher Warzone where he bazookas a guy doing a somersault. There's a guy mid-somersault and he bazookas him.
Oh wow.
And a guy, he hits someone with like a chair leg or something, it caves in his face.
Yeah, I remember that bit.
Yeah.
I don't even remember there being a sequel to Ghost Rider, but there was.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. And Idris Elba's in it as well. And Nicolas Cage. Oh, that's mental. Let's just forget. Come on. Let's just forget that.
Okay.
Never existed.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yes.
So, Candyman.
I watched something else.
Not named after the Marvel superhero who was bitten by a radioactive candy, but the Candyman, radioactive Jolly Rancher. But this is a Candyman, a horror Candyman. Have you got the details for the film?
I got the deets, mate. I got the deets. So Candyman is a 1992 American horror film written and directed by Bernard Rose, based on the short story The Forbidden by Clive Barker. So the film scenario switched from Liverpool, England in that short story. To Chicago, and basically Candyman is a murderous soul with a hook for a hand, and he's accidentally summoned to reality by a skeptic grad student researching the monster's myth.
Nice. This is what Empire magazine had to say. Helen Lyle is a student who decides to write a thesis about local legends and myths. She visits a part of the town where she learns about the legend of the Candyman, a one-armed man who appears when you say his name five times in front of a mirror. She ignores all warnings and begins her investigation, and a series of horrible murders begins. Could the legend be true? At its heart, Candyman terrifies because of its ideas. It sinks its horrific foundations very much in the real world of poverty and racial alienation. It's only got 70% of Rotten Tomatoes. It's only got 6.6 out of 10 out on IMDb. But it's got a special place in my heart. I don't know about you. What are your thoughts on this? Have you seen it before?
I think I've only ever seen it once before. And it didn't sort of like grab me as much as it did, because it has got a certain place in people's heart. When you discuss films that first scared people, this is a very common one. But I think it's because that interactive element. You know what I mean? Like if you just say the name Candyman five times, it is five in a mirror. So obviously when kids watch it, well, not necessarily kids, but like, sorry, younger people, is that interactive element of, we just watched that film. I dare you to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is only the second time I've seen it. So going into it, here, like I remembered a few bits, but not much of it, to be fair, not much of it at all. So it did feel like a fairly fresh watch. I didn't realize it was a Clive Barker story.
Yeah, I didn't, but it's weird with Clive Barker, because when I grew up, I remember Hellraiser and Candyman both, watched them at very sort of separate times of my life, but both really, I was like, there's something about those two films that is hitting a certain nerve. And then years later, I found out they were both Clive Barker stories. I was like, oh, so he must be the element that is striking me.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a definite...
by Barker.
It is very Clive Barker, if you're familiar with his writing or sort of films of made of his stories. It's very Clive Barker. It's got that sort of poetic, gothic...
You know, in the last episode, we talked about the poetry of the flesh.
Yeah,
that's Clive Barker. Like, he's always about the poetry of the flesh.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Flaying people and whatever.
Do we know? Like, because I tried to sort of work it out during the film, and maybe I checked out for a moment. Why is he called Candyman?
So I thought it was because of the honey.
Yeah,
but I'm not completely sure. It could be something to do with fact that he gives sweets to my sweet. Something about he gives candy to people. I don't know. But there was a Candyman killer, like a real killer called Candyman, who was the son of some sort of
sweet shop man.
Yeah, like a big rich one. So maybe they just took the name from that and it kind of stuck. I'm not too sure.
But when they killed him, they covered him in honey and threw him into a beehive. So when he was kind of like murdered, that's right, isn't it?
He became like a peanut brittle body.
He basically became a bit of candy. And it's sweet for my sweet. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's got that oddly romantic thing. I watched this with Kat And when the music is most of the film. Like, I do feel like the music makes the film what it is, especially if you hear the music in Tony Todd's voice. It's got this like sort of gospel sort of thing going. But Kat's like, is this the theme tune to Mr. Bean? So yeah, I think it might be. I don't know.
The theme tune to Mr. Bean.
You know when he slams like he falls from heaven or wherever?
Yeah.
And he walks.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it's this music.
Where's it go? Basically, that's it. Yeah, I've got it. It's Mr. Bean. This is a parallel universe version of Mr. Bean.
Yeah. This is a film like ruined me as a kid. I think I've talked about it before on the podcast where I couldn't brush my teeth because I was always worried that if I looked away from the mirror for any period of time and looked back, he'd appear behind me.
Would you have said Candyman 5 times in the mirror?
I think I did. And I think that might be why.
Why would you do that to yourself?
I think we were at like some sort of sleepover or something and we did it. Like idiots.
We had a pillow fight. Then we talked about boys. And then we said Candyman 5 times in the mirror.
Yeah.
Well, that's what happens, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. Even now, no, I do now. I'm far too much of a skeptic now to.
Not long after I watched this film, there was a moment where I thought about doing it, and I thought, don't be silly now, you know.
Is it worth it? That's what you've got to ask yourself.
Is it worth it? Exactly. Because then you do it on a whim and then Candyman's stalking you and you're like, I bloody wish I didn't do it. So I'd rather just not do it.
The thing is, after this film came out, everyone must have been doing it. Candyman must have been running around like a fucking lunatic.
Oh, right. I'm just about to kill you. Oh, no. Someone on the other side of the world has said it.
Being paged.
And even though he's a ghost, he's still got to take normal transport. So he still had to get on a plane, sit there. Yeah. Jesus, got to go to bloody Holland and get someone who said it in a windmill.
Yeah,
that's a stereotype. But he must have had a lot of air miles though after that.
Yeah, you get to a certain point where your air miles just pay for themselves, don't you?
Exactly.
So the key players in the film, they've only really got two key players. I would say there's a couple of like side characters who come into it a lot. Virginia Madsen plays Helen Lyle. She is a college professor who's doing a paper on urban legends. I mean,
is she a professor or is she just a student?
Maybe she's a student. Fucking students.
Bloody student freeloaders. joking. They got to pay the most for stuff.
Tony Todd plays Mr. Candy Man. Also, it says his name here is Daniel Robitaille. Must have missed that. But Tony Todd is... I can't think of anyone else who could really do this because he's got like a kind of a nice voice, but it's also fairly haunting.
He's got a nice voice. And he's just like such a physical... That's not it. And he's got like a very physical presence, isn't he? Like something about him where you're just like... Oh, bloody
heck. Full of bees.
Bees. I mean... Imagine sleeping next to him.
Tony, that's exactly what I'm looking for.
I mean, one more thing. It says here in the role that he needs to have bees coming in his mouth. I'm actually full of bees. Did you do that for the role? No, I didn't. That's why it's just coincidence. I remember him from Final Destination.
Yeah. Playing like deaf. Or like someone who isn't deaf. I never understood that. So in Final Destination, he plays a sort of guy who knows about deaf, but...
I might not be deaf, mate, but I'll tell you what, I bloody know deaf. And he's a right Knowles.
But like, he's creepy, that is good. I think he was in one on a Friday the 13th that I used to have as well on DVD.
And he's also the voice of The Fallen in Transformers Revenge of the Fallen.
Which one's that?
That's like one of the, one of the shit ones.
Yeah.
Which is all of them apart from the first one, maybe.
I don't think I've ever seen the first two of those. I remember I actually quite liked John Turturro's in one of them, right? Maybe more than one. But he's amazing.
He is. And he's got one of the worst lines in Transformers when he says, I'm underneath enemy scrotum or something like that. And there's two big balls hanging there. And Tony Todd also did the voice of Darkseid in Lego DC Super Heroes. There we go.
Yeah.
Lovely factoid there.
Xander Berkeley plays Trevor Lyle, who is Helen's husband, who is a college professor. I believe.
Yeah. So he's gone and he's found his favorite student and he's married her.
Yeah. And he's got a, that's, you know, that's his MO because he's also sniffing around the fresh students.
Yeah. It's fresh out the oven.
Yeah. He doesn't look like the kind of guy who I'd imagine lots of women being attracted to, but, you know,
you what, mate?
We can't smell cinema. So perhaps he wears a potent,
got a lovely smell
perfume.
the actor Xander Berkeley is in The Walking Dead as well.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. He is the man from The Walking Dead.
Right.
I can't remember. He's a dude who like runs the
shop.
His name's Gregory, and he's like the man who runs one of these little towns. Before I stop watching, yeah, there we go. Yeah,
okay, and then Cassie Lemons plays Bernadette Bernie Walsh, who is Helen's mate, basically. I think they're studying together. They're doing this project together.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they go out and have drinks sometimes. But Bernadette's really there just to sort of say, don't, Helen, stop it.
Don't do this, muck. Don't say it in a bloody mirror, mate.
But Helen does do it and she does not stop it. So the film opens pretty much the same as 8 Mile. Like... we get the shot of aerial shot of Detroit or whatever it is, and then we get the music, and then Eminem pops onto
Here's a bachelor's song about a candy man.
Mom spaghetti. And Tony Todd's voice. I think here he's just saying like Helen.
Helen, you left the oven on. Helen, you gotta do the washing up. Helen, have you done your tax return?
Helen! Oh no, Helen. Okay, so Helen... So it starts with her interviewing a student or someone about what they know about the Candyman.
Yeah. What do you know about the Candyman? What's his favourite TV show? What's his favourite colour?
So, did you notice Ted Raimi was in this?
I did notice this. Ted Raimi was like the boyfriend, wasn't he, of somebody?
Yeah, the story starts, it starts with the legend. So it starts in the way that you would tell someone the story of Bloody Mary or someone. So there's a babysitter and a guy comes around called Ted. He wears a leather jacket.
Yeah, he comes around called Ted and he wants to get his end away.
Yeah. She's like, let's play a game. And it's called
kinky,
Candyman.
Is it?
No, it's called Candyman. There's a bit where the woman telling the story says, and then just like any other date, they played Candyman.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Everyone doesn't play. I never played.
Every date. So would you like to go for a lovely? Would you like me to get a bottle of wine in and we'll sit together and watch the stars and you know, maybe just talk
summon
about things.
Maybe,
can we summon Candyman demon? Oh, it sounds like a right wrong. I'm definitely going to be horny after that. Do it!
So she says as Candyman, while he's downstairs getting mentally preparing himself for the sex that's about to happen.
He goes and sits down and goes, she'll play the Candyman game on her own. I'll go and sit downstairs and watch Love Island. He's got Love Island on to join it. Also, when she says Candyman in the mirror, she says it quite slowly. I'd do it as fast as I could.
Up from behind the door.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And get the hell out of there.
Hit me. Weapon.
How fast can you say Candyman 5 times?
Right now I've got a blocked nose, so let's see. Candyman.
That's pretty good.
That is good. So Candyman appears from behind the bathroom mirror, like I said he always does. Just don't take your eyes off that mirror.
Alright, mate!
And then it cuts to like Ted Raimi, who's still like mentally preparing himself, and then like a blood appears at the ceiling where she's been murdered, and he's like, it doesn't look like it's gonna happen.
He goes, I don't know what that means.
Yeah, I'll get.
I'll come back next week.
Yeah.
Oh god.
So, and then it cuts to, Helen. It's talking to the janitor woman, or she's writing up about it.
Yeah.
And then the janitor woman's like, oh, you were doing a piece on that Candyman. Because these people who live in a place called Cabrini Green, which is the hood, the ghetto, they have a real Candyman, or someone who's been saying they're called Candyman, who's actually like just murdering people, just genuinely.
Yeah. Apparently, 25 other murders in the area, similar to Ruthie Jean, who was the one who got done in.
Yeah.
And then later on, we see so Helen and Bernadette are at Helen's crib, having a right laugh, and they're like, "Wouldn't it be funny if we say Candyman's name into the mirror? I mean, that'd be top banter for everyone involved."
Top banter. Yeah, they have a cheeky Nando's, and then they do a Candyman.
Cheeky Nando's. What are we gonna do? Could have a nap together? No, nope, we're gonna do a Candyman.
After you've had half a chicken and a grilled halloumi.
Yeah. Full belly.
Yeah. Pop a Candyman in it.
So she says Candyman five times.
Five ways.
Five ways. Candyman, 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 Candyman.
Amazing.
Says it five different ways. Because basically, say it five different ways. He thinks it's five different people. So he's like, oh no, well, I'm confused. I'm baffled.
So a baffled Candyman doesn't turn up. He goes to the house next door. What?
Yeah. The bloody GPS all muddled up.
Yeah. So at some point, I think it's later at night, she's in bed, and her husband like ninja jumps onto the bed. It's like a weird like, jump scare. Did you remember the bit?
I don't remember that bit.
So it has like a jump scare, like a sting of the music. She's asleep in bed.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I think she's like writhing around, like she's uncomfortable. Oh, something like that. And her husband like goes, springs forward in that sort of like jitters. Onto the bed, and I think he's supposed to think, "Oh, something's happening," but it's obviously like her husband jumping on her, knocking him out. Yeah,
he's just going, "Oh, bloody scared you, didn't I, you silly bitch?"
So they're having a dinner party or something. All of it, her husband, Bernie.
Yep.
And there's a guy along there, like an English guy.
Professor Philip
Candyman, is it?
Candyman, we all know about Candyman. That sounds like a Pee-wee Herman. Hey, you're talking about Candyman. Everyone, so many people know so much about Candyman. You got to think, it's just at this stage in the film, we're thinking it's just an urban legend. Like, if you just went out on the street and started asking random people about an urban legend, people would be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. But this guy knows everyone in their dog. Wait, this guy knows about the real Candyman.
Yeah, he's like, oh, you must.
So it's like you must know about what's his name, Daniel Rubitaille, whatever his name is, Rochambeau, David, and he's like, okay, so yeah, so this Candyman fella, you do it in the voice.
Candyman was the son of a slave, and you know he got himself into some trouble. I can't do it.
Okay, so he was
like, you told me to do it in the voice, and I just did. Like, I didn't question it.
It's like on the Peep Show, and he tells him to piss himself.
Piss yourself, stop pissing yourself. Not a tap.
Okay, so Candyman was the son of a wealthy businessman. Maybe he's the son of the Candyman. Maybe that's the idea.
Possibly.
But he's got a thing for white women, I suppose. And he's been having it off with this other rich person's daughter. But this other person's doesn't like it. And he's like gets a gang and mob to...
Lynch mob
to do a lynch on him. They whop off his hand. They pop a hook in there. This is his painting hand because he's a painter, I believe.
Oh, fuck.
They whop off his painting hand. Bob in and a hook.
They pop in a hook. Like that seems... like because the thing is, they're going to kill him.
Yeah.
So the whole hook thing seems like an unnecessary
thing
to do. Yeah. No, you'd like that. You'd like that. Like, it's literally like the lynch mob. I mean, this is a horrible story. So the lynch mob cut his hand off, and there's like someone in the mob who was a little bit quirky was like, put hook in it. And they went, what? No, we're going to kill him now. Put hook in it. It'd be a right laugh.
What should we do now? I've got a hook. It just seemed like someone like was being a bit like was thinking laterally. Eddie Izzard was in the audience. Oh, well, I pop a hook in there, and then he's like, "I got some honey, pop some honey on him."
It's all mental. Like they could have a lynch mob. They could have just lynched. I mean, that would have been horrible as well. and a horrible thing that genuinely did happen.
Could have just pummeled him.
But they did a load of mental shit. Like, it was literally like they were all art students. Hey, come on, we got to think outside the box when we kill this guy. We're going to stick hook on him. We're going to smear him in honey. Ooh, kinky.
Yeah.
And then it'll attract hungry bees and they'll sting him to death. It's like, oh, fuck's sake. This is too much of an intense plan to murder somebody. Oh, we're definitely going to get caught.
Yeah, but anyway. It works. It does the job in a sort of arty-farty way. Someone takes a Polaroid. Someone else does a Tableau sort of thing. And he gets dead. Poor Kenny.
Yeah, and they put his corpse on a pyre and basically just burn him to a sweet, sugary, honey flavored cinder.
Oh no! I'm on the pyre.
Yeah. It's like a sort of a sprinkle of dust you can put on your dessert. I bet it tastes quite nice.
Oh, what are you sprinkling on your ice cream there? A little bit of Candyman's ashes. Oh, could I have a bit?
Yeah.
Don't say his name five times in the mirror, though, even when you've got it around your chops.
Yeah, and they end up sprinkling it all over the desserts of Cabrini Green, where it stands to this day.
And people ate those desserts, and then, his body became the land. All that stuff.
Someone sprinkled the sugar all over Cabrini Green, and that's where he haunts the place or something, or I don't know. No one knows. But I think it's around here where Helen and what's her name? Bernie Mac.
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Mac. name another Bernie.
Bernie.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Bernie Eccleston.
Yeah.
Got free Bernies there. Free Bernie's a pretty good going. This character in this film is the fourth.
That's all the Bernies you need. The four Bernies. Yep. The four Bernies of the apocalypse.
So they go into like a... Four Bernies of the apocalypse. They go into like a sort of housing project, which is a bit run down, graffiti everywhere.
Bit rough. You wouldn't feel safe.
A bit rough. You wouldn't necessarily feel safe. She's taking photos of all the creepy run down areas with like paintings on the wall and all this messed up shit. And they meet a lady called Anne-Marie who lives in the complex and she's got like a little baby boy called Jake.
Anthony. Where did you get Jake from? Did you make that up?
Is the boy called Jake?
Oh, no. Her baby's called Anthony. The only reason I know it's called Anthony is because, like, oh, that's they pronounce Anthony.
Anthony. Sorry, I've read that,
Jake
I've read that
is
wrong.
The other,
Jake
I know
is
you
the
mean.
Little kid.
Yeah,
got it. He's the kid who can talk.
Yeah. All the bullshit who come out on this show and like pulled you up on calling someone Jake.
Yeah. Jake! I mean, come on, mate. You're talking. Wait a minute. Did you just accuse me of peddling bullshit on this show? How dare you? I thought you were different than that. How dare you?
This is meant to be the yes and game. You can't say no.
I'm rethinking you now, mate.
Oh my God, you're going to call me out on so much bullshit. But so next door to, what's her name? Anne-Marie. No, Anne-Marie McCoy, no! You'll find. Anne-Marie, there's someone got murdered there by the Candyman. Not the real Candyman who died years ago, but this guy, this gangster who's calling himself the Candyman. And he got through a gap in the window, the gap in the mirror or something. and then, so they go to Anne-Marie's house, they meet her baby, and she's like, he's going to be real, he's going to be the president one of these days. And they're like, yeah, maybe.
No word. Possibly.
Yeah, who knows? Probably not. They're looking at each other like, it's not going to happen.
Look, yeah.
And then they go to meet Jake, and then, wait, is this where she gets hit?
Yeah. So she's like in like a public, she's like in a rundown restroom, sort of looking, she takes a photo in the mirror.
Shit on the walls. I remember that.
Shit all over the walls. Someone's done a dirty protest. And then basically this gang leader, carrying a hook, calling himself the Candyman, apparently to enhance his street cred. You know, if you're going to do it, you've got to do it. There's another guy.
Well. It's a pretty effective way of enhancing my street cred.
Yeah. Hang on a minute. You got a hook for Ant. You've gone up in my estimations.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
you're looking for Candyman, bitch.
This is pretty, yeah, this is pretty brutal. He says that, and he just gives her a good old fashioned lump in the face.
Wallop, yeah.
It's horrible. Her face blows up like a bloody, like a what?
Wasp sting.
Like a wasp sting.
Yeah.
Like a bee sting, yeah. And she does survive. She survived getting assaulted, and then she identifies this guy in a police lineup. How's your street cred now then? What did you do? Attacked a defenseless woman in a toilet.
Yeah.
This guy, man, this guy.
Yeah. Well, two things. So, one, out of left field, have you seen the picture of Bear Grylls after he got stung by a bee?
He turned into
whatever his name is, Bernie. what's his name? Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange, Sherlock. Yeah.
Bernadette.
Yeah, he Cumberbatch. Does.
Bernie Cumberbatch.
Benedict
Cumberbatch. Yeah, that's the one. And then, also, in the lineup, you know when they get the five people and they're saying, right, say what you said. Say, I hear you're looking for Candyman, bitch. Why didn't that the one who actually was do like a Pee Wee Herman voice?
Yeah.
I hear you're looking for Candyman.
Oh, it's definitely not him. It's definitely not him.
I hear you're looking for Candyman, bitch.
Well, <Yeah. laughs> that's obviously Pee Wee Herman. So what him? Yeah, why don't he do a voice?
Why don't he do a voice? It's obvious.
I hear you looking for Candyman, bitch.
Even if you put on an accent, like an English accent or something.
You'd rather go to prison than do a bad impression of Pee Wee Herman.
You're looking for Candyman, bitch.
Looking for Candyman, bitch. Steady now.
Okay.
Actually choke yourself. So yeah, and then Helen, after that, like, she starts to believe that all those killings were attributed to this guy. And then she's basically is of the moniker that, of the idea that Candyman isn't real. He is a made-up character.
That all of about 10 seconds, and then Candyman is waiting in the garage for her in the car park. All right, love.
Hey!
Oh, no. Hey, you thought I wasn't real. Why did he only turn up when she thinks he's not real then? Because before, she was kind of thinking he was real, and he does explain that he needs people to believe in him to continue his existence. So if she believed he was real, kind of, and then why didn't he turn up then? Why did he turn up when she started to think he wasn't real?
Maybe she dangled the carrot of possibility in front of him. He was reeling it in away from him, and he was like fucking chasing it. And then he was like, I need that fucking carrot.
And at this point in the film,
yeah,
shit goes pretty mental.
Yeah, yeah.
I was a bit like, what's going on? When it's a film like this, you know, you kind of start thinking, is this a dream sequence? Is she suddenly going to go, whoa, wake up and be like, whoa, that was a horrible dream?
I think one of the reasons I really like this film is because when she becomes more and more unhinged, and you start to think she might be an unreliable narrator or something might not be quite right, it's when it makes you feel kind of weird and like makes you kind of, it makes it more scary because you don't know really what's going on, especially Candyman, because Candyman, like, the way the way he speaks, his voice was recorded differently to everyone else. So it's got this like really heavy reverb, really deep. When he talks, like my speakers were rattling. Like he's got like it's got like such
like. I like when you listen to it.
Yeah.
Are you listening to that new metal music? just watching Candyman again, Mum.
So he's like, look, Helen, look, here's the score. What did they say? Like, you, the stories weren't good enough for you or something. So I'm here to sort of make them real again. Yeah.
In so many words, he says, Helen, you mug me right off. you're basically insulting my trade. And yeah. there's nothing more that I feel annoyed by than that. Yeah. So basically, I've got to shed innocent blood so that the belief in me continues. Belief in me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Continues.
It's like, be my victim. And she's the weird thing is, throughout the film, like, she seems kind of like, maybe actually. Yeah. She seems like she's kind of intrigued by it.
Seems like a good option because her husband is a Norse. So she's thinking, Candyman, just finish me off. And not in that sense.
And then he says, like, when he said, like, he says something to her and she falls asleep, or he like hypnotizes her or something.
Nighty night.
Yeah. And she goes, and then she's out. And then she wakes up amongst the screaming, and there's blood everywhere. There's a dog's head next to her.
Like a Rottweiler. Like, I mean, if you're going to take a dog out, a Rottweiler, that's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's Rottweiler's decapitated head, and then Anne-Marie. So she's in Anne-Marie's apartment, which is a bit nuts. Anne-Marie's going absolutely apeshit, which I'm not surprised by. And her baby's missing. There's blood all over the walls, blood everywhere. It's just a bit mental. I was a bit put out by this bit. I was a bit terrified.
She picks up a kitchen knife, and then she goes, Anne-Marie, are you all right? And then Anne-Marie obviously thinks that Helen's the one who's killed the dog and taken the baby.
Covered in blood and got a kitchen knife. Yeah. Anne-Marie, everything all right? Do you want anything from the shop?
Yeah. But Anne-Marie, like, goes apeshit again and she attacks her. And then Helen, in self-defense, you know, hacks at her arm or whatever. And then the police turn up and they were like, like, we know what's going on here.
I mean, as a police detective, you're thinking, this is cut and dry, mate. I mean, you've done a murder, you've got a baby somewhere, well, you mug yourself up.
But, you know, there doesn't seem to be any fair trial. Everyone's like, she's done it. It's like today's social media. I feel like this film's a little bit like James Gunn. This is how James Gunn felt. He felt like he'd been candy-manned.
And he used that analogy when he was trying to save his job. And Disney said, what are you on about, mate?
This is like, Disney is Candyman, and I'm Helen.
Yeah, and I'm Helen.
You just said my real name's Helen.
Yeah, he just went, I'm Helen, and I didn't murder the dog or kill the baby. I didn't!
Yeah. So, I think she's in the mental asylum in a month. This is where it gets even more wishy-washy.
So she gets arrested and then, like, questioned, like, where's the bloody baby? And then somehow, some miracle, she gets allowed to be bailed out. Even though, like, a baby's missing.
Oh, shit. Yeah, okay.
So Trevor bells her out, and he's kind of, like, looking after her, and he takes her back home, and they're kind of, like, he's kind of trying to be there for her. Even though Trevor's a douchebag, at this point, I mean, he was kind of doing the right thing, wasn't he?
He was
being there for his wife. He wasn't immediately thinking she's talking nonsense. Yeah. And then when Helen's in bed at night, is she in bed? But Candyman appears again and, like, cuts her neck, and she, like,
nicks her neck with, a shaving cut. Sort of thing on the neck there.
And then Bernadette turns up at the door.
Hello?
Hello? Come out! Hello?
And then Helen's like, oh God, that nick to the neck has done me in. She can't stand up. Yeah.
And then suddenly the door opens really weird at this stage, you remember? The door opens up really, like, not like creepily. It just kind of goes, open. It's like,
I didn't notice.
I found it a bit weird. I was like, that was a bit awful.
The door has two states, open and closed.
Open and closed. That is it.
Yeah.
So Bernadette comes in, and then Candyman sticks it in her.
He does. Singing that Christina Aguilera song. I don't know. It goes, Candyman. She's got a famous song called Candyman.
She's got a famous song called... Oh, yeah, she has got a famous song called Candyman. You're right. I'll listen to that after the podcast.
Right. Me too. And then, what's the name? Trevor gets back, and he's, like, looking at the floor, like how I look when Alaska's done a piss.
Oh, Jesus. Ellen, have you done another murder yet? Jesus Christ.
Yeah. She gets up and we see Bernie is like completely... She's been hooked all over to death.
Yeah, she's been absolutely
murdered to death.
Where's the murder weapon? This is the thing. Like, where's the bloody murder weapon? Yeah. You look at that murder and go, she's been gutted by a big, horrible ook.
I'd like to see the making of a murderer documentary about this. There was no hook. There's no murder weapon.
Yeah. Yes, and no one says, oh, it looks like she's been gouged by a hook. As they do in like old survival horror computer games, they usually go, she looks like she was bitten by some kind of animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just by looking at it, you just know.
So here's where it skips a month, right? So she wakes up and she's been terrorized by Candyman in the...
Yeah, we get a wonderful montage now of her in the mental hospital, just loving life. Get food given to her.
Yeah.
We don't get that. We just, well, a month
what
later.
Those, what was desserts had that we had at yours that time? Was it you like pop the bottom?
Creme caramel.
Are you sure you say caramel, you accent it weird. I say caramel. Is that not right?
Creme caramel. What do I say? Creme caramel.
Yeah, you say creme caramel.
Oh, well, I've never thought about that before. Maybe I do. Let's
if you have like a caramel though, like on a dessert, let's say a candy man.
Oh, it's covered in caramel. It's covered in caramel. But creme caramel is like the name of it. I don't know.
Right, okay. Maybe it's the creme caramel. I don't know. But anyway, she's eating
caramel. Caramel.
Helen's munching away on all these creme caramels. And there's some Candyman cinder dust on top. Tastes great.
Ooh, that's good.
And
that's a chair.
There's a bit where she's tied down and Candyman's floating above her bed. Like, hey, but you can't do this. You can't get this. And she's like, no, I can't get this. And then the psychiatrist is like, look, Ellen, you've been out for a month, you lazy bugger. This is a video of you talking to Candyman. And obviously there's no one there. And she says, oh, look, I can prove he's real. Don't worry. I don't know if I would. I think, wouldn't it be better just for her not to do this? Not to look in the mirror and say Candyman five times? Like... It's never worked out well for her.
No. It's not like Candyman had come out and go, and the psychologist should go, bloody hell, mind blown.
You were right.
Let's get you signed out. Let's get you out of it. Yeah, but Candyman wants to murder you now.
Oh. What?
Oh, bloody hell. That is unfortunate.
But you are right.
You are right. I'll sign these papers before he kills me. Candyman, wait there. Yeah, signed free. Not crazy. Not mad. There we go. Signed. There we go. Signed, still delivered.
And obviously, it looks like Helen's done it again, even though she's still not got a hook. Where is she getting this hook from?
She's killed him with a biro.
She Metal Gear Solid's out of there. She hides in a cardboard box, sneaks out, and then she goes home to see that Trevor is now living with one of his students.
Oh, yeah. She gets home, and he's already moved someone else in, and they're painting the wall. And they're having a lovely time, and he's like wearing a kimono with his knob out or something.
He is.
Helen's like, bloody hell.
God, he's got the butt plug in. He sees Helen, and it drops out, rattles on the floor. Helen, so not what it looks like. And then it drops to the floor.
Helen, it's not what it looks like.
Clang.
Amazing. That was our butt plug.
Oh no! Helen's like, I don't know what Helen says here. She's like, look, I can see the butt plug on the floor. I'll leave you to it, Trevor.
I'll leave you to it, guys. Yeah. I mean, the girl he's moved in, like, proper screams. So obviously, he's
she looks like she's seen a murderer. Well, especially thinks she has.
Yeah.
But she's like, not looking at her face. She looks, I don't know, it's like a puppy that's like, scared. It's like, she rolls over. Ask Helen to sniff her bits.
Oh God! Oh Jesus!
This is what puppies do. And yeah.
Helen just hightails it out of there.
I was going to say hightail that. That's weird. It's maybe because of the dog reference, I don't know.
Connection.
Suggested that. Yeah.
Same wavelength, mate.
She opens the fridge, takes a couple of creme caramel. She's like, "I'm leaving," and then she makes her way to the green.
Not with the creme caramels. They're the last two. We're going to have them for dessert.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go fuck yourself.
Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself, Brit. Go fuck yourself, Trev.
She just slurps them down in front of him. And he's like,
you didn't even open them properly. You're supposed to pop the tab.
Well, that's just me, all right? If you can't handle it, then fuck you.
Yeah. She crunches the packet and then throws it on the floor in protest and then runs away.
Somehow his butt plug goes whoop, straight back up.
Yeah.
Magnetic.
So then she goes back to Cabrini Green because Candyman's in her head and he's like, I've got the baby. I've got Anthony. And it's either going to be him or you. So come and be in his place. One of you's going to die. So she goes to Cabrini Green. She goes through the hole in the mirror.
Yeah, that was
the painted mouth sort of thing.
Yep.
And then she sees, maybe it's around here, she sees the mural of the woman that he died for years and years ago, and it looks like Helen. She looks like she could be like the reincarnation of this woman.
Yeah.
And then she sees the sleeping Candyman.
Yeah, he's sleeping. He's out for the count.
Yeah.
Full of bees, though.
Yeah, full of beans. Yeah.
Full of beans. That's what he meant. He went, I'm full of bees. He meant, I'm full of beans. Yeah. But there was a misconstrue. They didn't understand properly.
He'd always got that wrong. He'd always assumed it was full of bees. That was the saying.
Yeah. That's weird. When some people do that. They've got a saying just slightly wrong, and they've been living their whole life thinking of something else.
Yeah, like a damp squid.
I was just going to say that exact one. Like a damp squid. No, it's a damp squib. A what? What even is a squib?
Yeah,
I ain't even a thing.
He's like, he told Bernard Rose, the director, yeah, I'm full of bees, and he's like, oh, yeah, it's exactly what I need.
Perfect.
He just meant tick. I'm highly energetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Candyman wakes up.
Hello.
He opens his coat. What's he got in there?
Beans. Tins and tins of beans, like beans. Tins of beans on a fire, like the beans that attacked me that time.
Yeah. Well, if people are listening to this podcast for the first time, yes, Luke did just say he was attacked by beans. That's a story for another time. It is a great story.
Okay, so Candyman kisses her, and then all the bees spill out between the mouths. I don't know how they would have filmed this.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I kept thinking, how are they filming this apart from actually doing it?
Yeah.
Put these bees in your mouth and then I'm going to kiss you. We're going to swap the bees. It's like a weird niche fetish.
Yeah.
We're going to swap the bees together and then we're going to smush them up and then blah, 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 we're going to make sweet, sweet honey.
Yeah. Ugh, gross. We're going to pollinate each other's gobs. And then and then he's like, yeah, about Anthony. He's out in that pyre outside. He's like a big wooden thing where the whole Cabrini Green town is going to come together.
Yeah. What it looks like is one of those bonfires that is on a council estate in the UK where everybody and like gets all the shit they got in their garden, like doors, sofas, all the wooden bits of it, and they just pile it into this massive huge pile just like on the only bit of grass in the council estate. And they burn shit out of it.
Yeah, and there's a baby that's going to get burned in this one.
There's usually a baby in these council estate fires. It's usually part and parcel.
Yeah.
No, of course.
And now we burn the middle class person.
And now we burn this baby.
Yeah. They're going to Wicker Man this baby right off.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So she runs outside to get him or something.
She basically climbs into the fire, but then Candyman's in there going, oh, you ain't going nowhere. And she's like, oh, you bloody stitched me up. You told me that I just said.
So he wants them all three of them to die, and it'll be like a family sort of deal, right?
Yeah, so he like holds on to her, but she like, does she stab him with something?
Stab him with a piece of wood, yeah.
But he's a ghost.
Is he though? Because what is he? Because I don't think he's a ghost or like some sort of manifested idea of like people's fear. It's weird.
Physical manifestation of people.
He knows what he is, really. Yeah. And then she gets out. He burns in the fire, and then she loses all her hair. She gets the baby out and gives it back to
Anne-Marie. What did you just say?
She loses all her hair.
Oh, she loses all her hair in the fire. Yeah, I thought you said she leaves all her hair. Like, she just goes, fuck this. This is holding me back.
Wind resistance. She needs to get that off. Yeah. It's like cyclists who shave their legs. It's aerodynamism. Exactly. Yeah.
Pretty much. So she saved the baby, but then she does die from severe burns, you know, which is terrible. And then cut away to the funeral, which it looks like it's just Trevor and his new squeeze is there. But then suddenly all of the residents of Cabrini Green turn up dressed in their Sunday best to pay respects to Helen.
Because they know that she saved the baby and killed Candyman? Is that?
I guess so, but there's got to be a few cynical people there like, why are we going to celebrate her? She cut your dog's head off.
Yeah.
And she stole your baby for a while.
But maybe because they've got the hook now. They're like, look, she killed the Candyman. Yeah. I don't know. And there's that final bit where Trevor is... He's
Devo, isn't he?
He's what? Oh, Devo.
He's Devo. And I kind of thought he didn't seem to care about her that much, but now suddenly she's dead. He's like, bloody hell.
Grass is always green on the other side.
I bet she did something sexually that his new missus ain't doing. Like, yeah.
Well, it's because she's bold. He's like,
rusty trombone.
Yeah, she did the old rusty trombone. He did
I miss it so.
Yeah. So Trevor is like in the bathroom. Whilst his new missus is throwing a meat around. Yeah, like passive-aggressive cooking.
Yeah.
And Trevor's like, oh, Helen. She's like, Trevor, are you all right? He's like, yes, it's a big one.
It's the one that is making me sweat.
He's like, Helen, oh, God, Helen. Helen, Helen, Helen. Helen, 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 Helen. He said it loads.
Just Helen 5 times in a bloody mirror. Which I think, if you just say Helen, he could mean any Helen.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't mean you. Her name's Helen as well.
Helen, I've summoned Helen Mirren. Yeah. Oh, God.
Dame Helen Mirren. Hello, Bond.
How are you? Great to see you.
And if she eats him for some reason. Amazing. Okay, so that's how it ends. Are you ready for some trivia?
Helen turns up.
Oh, yeah.
Are we just agreeing that Helen Mirren turns up? Helen Mirren turns up.
Of the queens, whichever one she was dressed like that week. And what does she do? She knits him. Kills him.
She kills him. But then at the end, in Candyman's lair, we see there's like a picture of Helen with hair on fire in it.
Right. Yeah. So she's like the new legend.
Yeah.
The new folk.
It's not as scary, is it? It's like, have you heard the legend of Candyman? Oh, no, tell me more. Have you heard the legend of Helen?
Helen.
Bold Helen. Candyman, he comes with a hook and he hooks you. And don't say his name. He's got bees coming out of his mouth. Oh, God, look at his horrible rib cage. That's terrifying,
don't
right?
Say Bold Helen.
Bold Helen! Bold. Oh, no!
She's a woman, but she's got, like, no hair on her head.
I tried to be with Herman there, but I think I've lost it. Remind me of how it goes.
Helen!
Oh, I've lost it.
Oh, Helen! Oh, no! Bold Helen's new dad!
That's it.
That's good. That's good. Some trivia. You ready? Which hot American starlet was in line to play the lead role of Helen if Virginia Madsen refused it?
Oh, American starlet.
Yeah.
But Demi Moore.
Close. Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock. Yep.
Number 5. How many times during the filming of the film was Tony Todd stung?
15.
Close. 23 stings, but he got an extra sting from the reviews. Ouch. He also got $1,000 bonus for each sting.
Is that true?
He said it worked out quite well for him, yeah.
My God, I'd just be like, I'd strip naked, cover myself in, sting me!
Number 3. To keep the bees from getting out of control, they were frozen and individually tied to tiny strings. How old were the bees? That was the actual question.
How old
were the bees?
I've never ever thought of how old a bee is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, until
now.
4 months old.
Yeah. 12 hours old. They had to be not too old to... They need to old enough to look like full adults, but not too old, because when they get past, when they get to 13 hours old...
This is disgusting. This is disgusting.
Their stinger gets more deadly, like more potent. So they have to do it by 12.
Have a very small little stinger. I've got it. Yeah. 4 months old, I said. Bloody horrible killer bees.
Yeah.
I don't even know how long bees live to.
No idea. Also, if you see a bee outside and it's tired, you can give it some sugary water, some candy, and it will bring it back to life.
Candy, man.
Number four. Speaking of bees, guess who is allergic to bees?
What? You?
From film.
From the film. Virginia Madsen.
Well, it's actually Macaulay Culkin in the film My Girl. Different film altogether. But he is allergic to bees and he dies in that film. It's very tragic. But no, in this film, you're right, it's Virginia Madsen. She's actually allergic to wasp stings, but to bees to some extent as well. And lastly, but not leastly, where was the original short story, The Forbidden, set?
It was set in Liverpool.
Liverpool. That's right. But I think moving it to America and involving the sort of racial, transposing it to sort of this racial idea, I think works really well. So I think you got all of them right. Well done.
Great. It would have just been full of scouts in the other one.
It wouldn't have been particularly... All right, Helen.
All right. Helen the Bold is here.
Yeah.
There we go. That was it. Well done.
Yeah. You need to rate the film.
I'm not a huge fan of this film. I kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
In a way. But I'd probably say a C. I wouldn't go any higher than a C. Because it wasn't one of those films that I kind of like had any sort of major connection with growing up. I'd seen it, but it wasn't one of those films that scared me. And I think now it kind of just feels like a sort of lesser, it is almost like a slasher, isn't it? But in a way it's a slasher, but obviously not with a human. Yeah. I don't know. A lot of it didn't work for me, but there we go.
There it is. Well, I was going to go a B plus because I don't know, I like it. And
I like it, mate.
That's it. That's what I was going to say. It's I think this film might be one of the reasons why I watch horror movies today. It's, it's affected me. It's ruined me, is what I'm trying to say.
It's ruined you.
It's turned me bad. Yeah.
It's turned you bad. Rotted you from inside out.
Yeah.
Just like candy does.
Exactly, yeah. So next week we were going to do a dishonorable mention. Dishonorable could mean a few things. It could mean a shit film, or it could mean like maybe like something a bit exploitative about it or something. Or
a guilty pleasure, possibly.
Guilty pleasure, exactly. Yeah, something that's dishonorable about it.
So I won't reveal my pick quite yet. Would obviously have been either next week or the week after, but mine is a dishonorable mention pretty much because it's awful. It was one of the first films that genuinely scared me and kept me scared for a long time. I used to have reoccurring nightmares about it, but then I went back and watched it as an adult and I was like, what the hell was I ever scared of? This is awful. But I think it might be good to discuss, because I can discuss parts of it that did affect me.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I've seen the boobs that you sent me.
Yeah, there's some boobs in it. Terrifying. I mean, but don't get me wrong, mate. That one a bit I was scared of.
Right. Yeah. Okay, but looking forward to that. Also, although the servers are down, we're going to be playing some Dead by Daylight. It's the free PlayStation game. I downloaded it and was going to play it, but the servers have been down ever since it went free on PlayStation. Something broke. So no one can play it at the minute. If you want to get involved, why not go to the Facebook group, Horror Hangout Board of Advisors, and there's a Fred there. Pop in your details.
Who's Fred? Yep.
And, sorry. And we'll have a game. But next week, we're going to be talking about Ben's dishonorable mentions, unmentionables. And
I like what you did there.
Yeah. But yeah, in the meantime, this show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovacs Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. Give us a 5-star rating review on iTunes and remember to hit subscribe. And thanks to my co-host Ben for being a real horror dude. Hey, Scott.
Thank you very much, Luke. I love you.
Thank you. Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.